This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Eye test, John. How did Rodgers look? I know everybody's been talking about it. He had a year off football. That's a lot in the NFL. How did he look?
He didn't look rusty. He looked pretty good. They got a lot of cornerbacks, man. And I keep saying they're going to have to cut some guys who are NFL-level quarterbacks.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thursday's edition of Birds 365 coming off the first open OTA to media. Not the first OTA practice. That was on Monday, but the first one that the media was available to watch and see. So good stuff. Johnny Mac got some good intel down there today. John, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I want to give you a chance to walk us through your offensive play of the day yesterday and your defensive play of the day.
The offensive play of the day, I think, and there weren't a ton of splashy offensive plays. There was a deep seam route down the middle of the field from Tanner McKee to EJ Jenkins, who's a backup tight end. I think that was the splashiest play.
I love that. And then Tanner McKee to EJ Jenkins gets the W. Yeah.
And I mentioned the back shoulder throw to Kenny Gainwell from Kenny Pickett in the end zone. One of those two plays. But the defensive players were claiming Kenny stepped out. So could have went either way. But the throw is what I was most impressed by. But so I would say the one no doubt about play was that seam throw to EJ Jenkins from Tanner McKee. The first team off. I'm trying to think the first team offense. It started out good. EJ right away. And then the second throw, boy, I forget who it was for, was might have been Albert. Might have been Albert O. And then it got a little bit in the muck. There was some good stuff with Kenny, as I mentioned, out of the backfield. Not a lot of highlights, though, because AJ didn't play a lot. I mean, for obvious reasons.
And it's just shorts, but I will say AJ looked explosive as always. I mean, he is a beast, man.
Yeah, that dude's the best football player they have. I say it all the time. Best pure football player on the team. So those were the two offensive plays that stood out. I mentioned the defensive play that stood out, which was Quinyon peeling off and getting a pass breakup on a throw to Johnny Wilson. And then Devin White, I also mentioned on that wheel route, that's what you're trying to do with Saquon is match him up with a linebacker.
Yeah.
And there was no separation. I mean, zero. So that was pretty impressive as well.
Is that the upside to Devin White that maybe we're missing? Like, it's a passing league. You want to, I mean, and if he's that athletic where he can stick with Saquon Barkley, he might be good in passing situations.
Well, you know, it didn't work out in a consistent fashion in Tampa, and it wasn't about his athleticism. It's about understanding the coverages and the roles on a particular play. So, on that, when he does, yeah, it looks really good. But can he do it consistently? That's been an issue in Tampa Bay. A lot of people criticized his penchant for overrunning plays or freelancing and going outside of what the design of a particular defense was. So we'll see if Bick can fix some of those issues.
John, I want to ask about cornerbacks. Obviously, that's something we've been talking about all offseason, really. And the one thing that surprised me a little bit yesterday, and I know nothing's set in stone, and there's not too much we can take from this, but it is May 23rd, and I got to do a show today. I can't do a show in August, as far as he always says. So we got to talk about it now. They had Isaiah Rodgers at outside corner in place of Bradbury. Now, I'm not surprised they didn't just stick Quinion in there, as you said. They want to make him earn it, which I understand. I just didn't expect to see Isaiah at the outside. I know he played it in Indianapolis, but there's a lot of talk of him being in the slot corner. So you had Slay, you had Rodgers, and you had Maddox in the slot. What did you make of that situation?
Well, I kind of said that at the start. Understand it wasn't just Bradbury. It was also Kaylee Ringo. It was also Eli Riggs.
Ringo might have been out there.
So, you know, if Bradbury was out there, he would have been the starter. If Ringo was out there, he would have been the starter. If Ricks was out there, he might have been the starter over Isaiah Rodgers. And some of that is deference to the fact that they were here, similar to what they did at other positions. So I wouldn't put too much into the fact that he was out there because of the guys who weren't out there. As far as the outside inside, when they first got him, things have changed a lot. And Avante's back, if they cut him and brought him back. So he's a legitimate slot player. Tyler Hall's a guy we haven't talked about. Is a natural slot player, and he got a lot of second team reps in the slot, and is a natural for that particular position. And then Cooper. They want to get Cooper on the field.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be on the field as an outside corner as long as Darius Slay and Quinion Mitchell, most likely, by that point, are healthy. So how do you get him on the field? Potentially in the slot, potentially as a big nickel. More and that a lot of that depends on the health of Avante Maddox, but that's why I think Isaiah Rodgers is starting out on the outside. But I expect him to cross train because of his size, and he's probably physically better suited for work in the slot. But he played outside in Indianapolis, I say all the time, because they had Kenny Moore, who's conversation for being the best slot cornerback in football. So he had to get on the field. They needed a cornerback on the field, and that meant he had to play outside. The Eagles are much deeper in the slot than they were last year.
Eye test, John. How did Rodgers look? I know everybody's been talking about it. He had a year off football. That's a lot in the NFL. How did he look?
He didn't look rusty. He looked pretty good. They got a lot of cornerbacks, man. And I keep saying they're going to have to cut some guys who are NFL level quarterbacks, cornerbacks. And, you know, Eli Ricks, Josh Jobe was second team quarterback corner. So Quinion, and it was Quinion and Josh Jobe.
Now again, Cooper in the slot.
Yeah. Josh got elevated up because of those guys not being there. Ringo, Ricks, even more so than Bradbury, because probably it was understandable that James wasn't going to show up for voluntary work. So They have a ton of bodies at corner, and they're going to have to cut some guys that probably deserve to be on an NFL roster. And that's a good position to be in considering what happened at corner last season.
Yep, much rather be in that position than the one we were in last season. John, let's go to the rookies. We already talked about Quinion and Cooper enough, but I didn't. I'll get to Bryce Huff later because I haven't heard anything about Bryce Huff. I know this isn't a day where he's going to shine, but let's go to the rookies. Jalix Hunt. We talked a little bit about Jeremiah Trotter. Anai Smith obviously wasn't much of a participant. Will Shipley. But what did you see from like Jalix Hunt? Was he out there and how did he look?
Very little. But understand, I mean, again, passing drill.
Yeah.
And you're only playing basically the only defensive front player that was out there were the hook defenders, the flat defenders, the guys who are going to drop in coverage. So there was a little bit of Bryce Huff and a little bit of Jalix Hunt, but there was more. I mentioned Brandon did it. Nolan Smith was the guy who got most of the work.
How did he look?
In that particular,
I got a big bullseye on Nolan Smith this year to take a big step forward.
He looked fine. He looked comfortable.
Look like he put on any size, any weight. Is he more of an NFL ready body coming into the year?
No, he didn't look that much different physically. And I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem with Nolan is his health as far as the shoulder, and hopefully he had a procedure and hopefully he's healthy.
Sometimes there is like a physical acclimation period though for guys that get in the league where there's like
no doubt about it. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And I would say he hasn't put on any noticeable weight. Looks the same. So from that standpoint, but that's part of his game as well, being athletic and incredibly fast for being an edge rusher. And he's probably the guy that Bick is looking at and saying, well, we could probably drop him in coverage more than anybody else and be effective that way. So Kenny, I always talk about Andrew Van Ginkle last year from Miami. Can he play that role?
Yeah.
That seems to be day one. We're talking about one day. That seems to be where the Eagles are defaulting, that he'll be the guy to play that role. Then it becomes, can he handle it? But Julian Okwara did it. Terrell Lewis did it, some lesser probably, but you didn't see a lot of Bryce Huff doing it. You didn't see a lot of Jalix Hunt doing it. In the case of Bryce, that's probably a good sign, because that means he's going to be rushing the passer.
Yeah. Bryce is, he's a stocky guy, Bryce Huff. He's a little bit beefier, I would say, from the looks of it, from what I've seen, and from just watching some of his tape from last year. He's a little bit beefier than a guy like Hassan Reddick was. So maybe.
He's about 260, Bryce Huff. So yeah.
He's stocky. He's ripped up. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got some hep to him. So I think that's a good thing. With Jalix, it's probably just, he's very raw and he'll get to it with Jalix. But, you didn't even see other than individual work and them working off of the side, same as the offensive linemen, guys like Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. We got to talk to Jalen Carter, but he's not in 7-on-7. So, you have to understand what they were doing. And it was a coverage drills, essentially, from a defensive perspective. And that meant you weren't going to see a lot of guys who aren't going to be in coverage.
John, how about the safeties? Reed Blankenship and C.J. Gardner-Johnson were the first two. That's kind of what we talked about, is what we expected it to be. Eagles have kind of tipped their hand that they like Reed Blankenship maybe more than some of the fans like Reed Blankenship, but Is that who you think is going to go, and how did they look out there?
Oh, yeah. Those are your starting safeties, no question about it. The issue becomes after that. Now, Sydney obviously is not ready to go, but he was on the side field. He's working out.
I saw some tweets, and he looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing much, but he was moving well.
I'm telling you, he's going to be back early in the season, maybe even week one. But Now, it doesn't help. Obviously, he's not going to get reps in the offseason because you have to let that thing heal. There's a certain amount of time. He looks like he can play right now, but you have to let an ACL heal for 9 months, basically. Right. But he'll be back relatively early in the season. So the backups were Mekhi Gardner, Tristan McCollum. So they have moved Mekhi Gardner to safety. Looks like it's going to be full time, which makes sense because they have so many corners now.
Yeah.
And then Avante Maddox got some work at safety. So they're cross training Avante. And maybe that's the role they go for the fourth safety. So we know when the 53, it's going to be Blankenship. It's going to be CJ. It's going to be Sydney. And maybe the fourth safety is going to be Avante Maddox. And then you can keep one more cornerback because right. you're cross training. That is early strategy, but I think the Eagles might be looking that way. And Avante's got to stay healthy, obviously.
Yeah, I want to get into a little bit later on in the show. We have about 43 minutes left in the show. I do want to talk about the press conferences. Obviously, some good stuff. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. John, I'm sure you didn't, but I do want to ask for clarity. Not much you're getting scheme-wise from the new coordinators, right?
Well, I mean, you could see, you saw more motion, more bunch formations.
Okay. Hurts under center a little bit.
Eagles, not too much under center, but, you know, it's kind of silly on 7-on-7. Again, yeah. You have to realize, because they're not trying to fool the defense. It's a coverage drill. You're not running the football, as John kind of pointed out. So it's more about obvious passing situations. So basically, there was more pre-snap motion. There was more bunch formations, which the Eagles rarely used. They typically would go 2x2 when they would try to spread the field. So a little bit changed from that perspective. They did try some things with the backs, as I mentioned, with the wheel route with Saquon, trying to get the ball to Kenny in the flats a little bit. So they did do more of that, but with Kenny, it was the backup. So I don't know how that translates to Jalen and throwing, you know, flat passes and things like that. Defensively, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is you saw the hook defender, the flat defender, a whole heck of a lot. And I thought it's good, and that's why I'm trying to caution people of what the drills were. He's not dropping edge rushers on every play, but he will do it occasionally. And they were working on that a lot. And if you watched yesterday and surmised that's what they're going to do all the time, you're probably going to get upset. But that's not what it was about. But you got to see how he utilizes that particular defender. And it's a little bit different than what Jonathan Gannon or Sean Desai did as disciples of what Vic was trying to do. He does it a little bit more, and he puts a little bit more on that particular player.
Yeah, if it's used situationally, honestly, that never – and it doesn't bother me too much. I get why people don't like it, but it's part of a defense. You can't just run the same, you know, the same stinking
– Yeah, you got to throw player. A curveball, yeah.
I always say. You got to keep them on their toes. And
yeah, yeah. Can't just throw 100% fastball. So, and it looks, again, it looks like it's going to be Nolan Smith in that role. And, you know, but guess what? If he decides that I don't have a great player for that role, maybe he uses it less. So I think it depends on how, you know, can you find the player that can handle it?
John, I want to ask you about Saquon Barkley, the big signing. I know we talked a little bit about it with John Stolness, but what did you see from the Eagles' new running back? He's kind of the flash signing for the team. He's the exciting signing on the offensive side of the football. There's no other additions really on offense that everybody's excited about that's new. Everybody's excited for Saquon Barkley. He looked good out there from, you know, he's physical, he's big, he's husky. Saquad is a real thing. What was your first impression of seeing Saquon in Eagle Green?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't great for the offense as a whole, as I mentioned. I mean, yeah, physically, he looks the part. Certainly, yeah, he is the part athletically. But, I mean, I wouldn't, as I said, with most of the plays, most of the exciting plays were from the second or third team. I think a lot of that had to do with the issues at receiver currently. Devontae wasn't there. The other Devontae retired, different spelling. And all of a sudden you have Paris Campbell, Joseph Nott out there. Wasn't a ton of AJ Brown and Dallas Goedert. So even from that factor. So you just look at some of the things they did. They did try the wheel route. Devin snuffed that out. The one, and again, I saw Kenny catch it. I didn't know Saquon was on the field. Another reporter told me he was in the slot when they threw a quick.
Oh, baby, Saquon in the slot, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, well, it was the, yeah, but it was a decoy.
That's fun because we talked about it a lot, whether Saquon would be in the slot or whether he should be in the slot. So,
yeah, well, the same thing as a flat defender. If it's four or five times a game, there's no issue with it.
Right.
If you're doing it all the time, you're going to get frustrated. But they used him as a decoy, evidently, and went the opposite direction to Kenny Gainwell. So you saw some of the imprints of what they're going to try to do with him in the passing game. But there wasn't much success, but there wasn't much success as a whole with the first team, at least after AJ left.
Any changes to your depth chart after seeing yesterday, or your 53? I mean, just things that you're like, I didn't really expect that, or maybe somebody gets bumped. I know you talked about Paris Campbell looked pretty good, so maybe we can move him into lock territory for the Eagles to take him as a receiver. Joseph Nada didn't look too hot, but he was filling him for Devontae Smith. Any other takeaways from your depth chart or you think?
Why Paris making the team? I mean, as we stand here today, I think, if they don't add anybody, he's pretty safe. I wouldn't say 100%, but he's pretty safe. Didn't change anything from the standpoint of the 53. But I from the standpoint of guys who might have a chance to play that I didn't think had a chance to play, I think Zach Bond would lead that list. Bick seems to really like him. Nicobe's not healthy. I think that's going to be more of a competition than we thought. And I think Nicobe's got to get back and fight for his place. So I think that part of it is interesting. And then, because of who wasn't out there at cornerback, tough to get a good feel other than they're going to want to get Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean on the field very, very early. And with Quinyon, I expect to be everything's barring injury, but I expect him to be the week one starter outside. And Cooper, I expect to have a role. And that certainly seemed to be. You could sense the way they were going. And Tyler Steen at right guard, I don't think it's going to be much of a competition unless he falls flat on his face.
Yeah, kind of a media-made competition there, maybe. Maybe it's Tyler Steen is always the shoe-in. Did he look – I guess you didn't see much of him, but did he look good in the role?
At least?
He's probably good at the podium, I will say that.
Yeah, those guys don't do
anything. Yeah, they don't do much, right?
And that's one of the things where – you can do 11 on 11s in OTAs. Nick has never done it. And I know some people have a problem with that. And I'm like, why are you going to make offensive linemen stand there? Like, what's the point? Same with defensive linemen. I mean, it's a waste of time. So I don't have a problem with that. It is what it is. It's a passing camp. Like, you go to high schools now. My buddy Rob Kessner pointed this out. I went, Zach McPherson and Milton Williams had a youth football camp last year, and they do it every year, and they're probably it's going to come up in July. In South Jersey, they typically have it, but I went last year, and there was this kid, and I wish I could remember his name. He was just a phenomenal quarterback. Alabama was already looking at him, your school. And I'll try to look it up in the break because I want to give him some credit. But I was amazed at how advanced he was. He's a sophomore at the time in high school. And I was amazed at how advanced he was throwing the football. And that's all they do, these high school kids. All they do is they have these passing camps. So it's the quarterbacks are really advanced. The wide receivers are really advanced. The cornerbacks are really advanced. And the offensive and defense, they don't even play.
You know, yeah, well, you can't blame them, right? I mean, for these kids have big aspirations in the sport, whether they make it or not. But, I mean, college is all passing. The NFL is moving to more.
No, but my only point is with off-season football, you can't get a feel for offensive or defensive linemen because they're not playing football. They're just 7-on-7 passing camps. That's what they're doing. So it's about sharpening from the offensive perspective. It's about sharpening, obviously the passing game. And from a defensive perspective, it's about sharpening the coverage. It's not about the offensive or defensive front players.
John, I want to ask about linebacker. I know they don't have a lot of people, obviously, and we've talked about it a bunch this offseason, but are we like shooing in Jeremiah Trotter too soon? I mean, yesterday there was no Nakobe Dean in participating. They had Devin White and Zach Bond. And then the second pair was Oren Burks and Ben Van Sumeren. And the third pair was Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Brandon Smith. Like, I don't know how many linebackers they're going to keep on this team, but that's five in front of them right there if you count Nakobe Dean.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to make the team. It's no surprise. He's a rookie day three pick.
I know the name is bringing these unrealistic expectations, but I do think people are maybe putting the cart before the horse here.
And Samaj Beals is the guy from Roman Catholic is the kid. So we want to give him credit. He's already got
Roman Catholic.
Different, you know, recruiting's a lot different, so they always offer early, but he's already got offers from Alabama, Penn State, USC, Temple, Rutgers, Pitt, Boston College, among others. And I was amazed at how advanced he was. But
Roll Tide, Samaj, pick Alabama.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's going to be last because he's not a five-star recruit, so Alabama will probably bow out at some point. But the fact that they had interest even is pretty impressive. Sure.
Yep.
But anyway, I digress. As far as Trot, you know, Oren's a veteran. Ben was here. So that's what they do. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, you're not worried about Quinyon Mitchell. They didn't start him in the first team. They didn't start Cooper DeJean, and you're not worried about him, nor should you. They don't do that. They're never going to do that. That's just Nick's philosophy. So in the case of Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Devin White and Zach Bond are the starters without Nakobe Dean, and then they're going to default to the guy who's been here, Ben Van Sumeren, and the veteran, Oren Burks. But he'll quickly move up, and he'll probably get second-team reps by the time training camp is here. And, you know, people fall flat on their face at linebacker because we talked about a potential opportunity. Trevor Keegan. We talked about these third round. Now, Anais is not healthy. Trevor Keegan didn't even get a rep at right guard, at least when I was watching. They started him at left guard, his college position on the third.
Yeah, we might be overthinking the whole thing. He might be the backup left guard. Done.
Well, no. If you're a backup, you got to have versatility. He's going to ultimately get some reps at right guard. But what I'm saying is he's going to make the team. And right now he's the third team left guard. and he's got to jump over some people, but they're going to make him jump over some people. That's all I'm saying.
So who's the second team O-line would be? Fred Johnson, Brett Toth.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Matt Hennessy. Who else we got on that?
Darian Kennard. Well, Mekhi Becton was on the first team.
Because Lane Johnson was out. So I think that tells you what they want to do with him, though. He's probably going to be your swing tackle, as we expected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mekhi Becton is going to be the swing tackle. No question about it. And again, not that you want anybody to be hurt, because you certainly don't want Lane Johnson or Jordan Mailata to get hurt. But I think the Eagles are one of the better equipped teams. I think Mekhi Becton is as good as a swing tackle as you're going to get from a talent perspective. And we'll see how Jeff Stoutland can work with him. But yeah, I'd be very comfortable about the depth there. But the second team, I'm just trying to pull it up while I'm talking. It was Fred Johnson at left tackle, Darian Kennard, who's veteran, one of those features guys at left guard. Brett Toth was the center. Matt Hennessy was the right guard, which was kind of meaningful for reasons I mentioned. And then Aneem Dankwa, who's an undrafted rookie, was the right tackle. But remember, Becton was the first team right tackle. So Becton gets bounced and Dankwa right. would typically be the third team. The third team yesterday was the IPP guy from Australia trying to do another Jordan Mailata, Lakin Vakalai.
Yeah.
Keegan was the left guard. Dylan McMahon was the center. Jason Poe was the right guard. And then another undrafted rookie, Gottlieb Idizi, was the right tackle. So that was the offensive line group. Without Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton was a starter.
Let's go to James Carver. He has a question for us on N'Kobe Dean, dropping a super chat. James, thank you so much, man. Your support of the show and the network is much appreciated as always. Johnny, have you seen a size increase in Dean's lower body between last year and this year? Seth Joyner thought his injuries stem largely from torque issues against bigger O-line, given his smaller lower body size. I hope the offseason helped there. It's a good point. Seth talked about that in postgame all the time. When you're a smaller body and you're going up against bigger dudes, it eventually, we used to do that thing, you know, eventually it breaks, right? So any difference you've seen in a size increase in N'Kobe Dean?
No, N'Kobe's undersized. He's always going to be undersized for a linebacker in the NFL. And remember, he had foot problems, so he wasn't doing a lot of lower body work as he was coming back from the issues. Now he's got this weird, which he's admitted to me. He's got a problem finding comfortable footwear, which I know sounds goofy.
Odd, but yeah, we talked about this a little bit before. Yeah,
and especially for a 23-year-old, but it is what it is. And the Eagles think they have a handle on it. And as silly as it sounds, maybe that's helpful. But he's never going to, he's never going to be Jeremiah Trotter Sr. He's under 6 foot. He's listed at 231. I've kind of said since the day I met him, he doesn't look like he's 231. So I think the Eagles give him a little bit of weight. But I don't think that's important. And Seth and I have talked about that a lot. I mean, and I get it. Seth comes from a different era when it was more important to have size. But I mean, that's where the NFL is going with these smaller, quicker linebackers based on coverage. And they have to do, it's a different game. There's guys, so many teams now use big nickels as their nickel packages. And the fact that you have three safeties on the field and only one linebacker, and that's to get that extra coverage on the field, extra right. coverage player. And there are guys, you know, when Malcolm Jenkins was here, he would play at times essentially that second linebacker role. And, you know, Malcolm was obviously very stout for a safety, but he wasn't stout for a linebacker, and he did it very well. Josh Metellus, I talk about all the time, is one of my favorite players. He essentially plays linebacker when Brian Flores is, you know, putting out his nickel packages. And he's a safety by trade who's maybe 215, and he's one of the best defensive players in football last year. So I don't, if you're talking about just old school defending the run, yeah, N'Kobe's not Dick Butkus. I think he's more of a modern linebacker. And I don't think there's a problem with that.
James, thank you again, man. We appreciate it for the super chat. Hope you got your good answer there from Johnny Mac. Just for clarity, John, Fly Parks asked, what injury does Dean have? If you could run through that one more time, just what he's dealing with. I know a lot of people think it's a new injury. It is not a new injury. It's something he's been dealing with. John, can you please explain what that
is? Yeah, he had a lisfranc injury in his foot. He had two injuries. He had two foot injuries, and they were separate ones last year. But the current one is the more serious one. He did have surgery, and it was a lisfranc. And he was on, you know, the rollabout for a long time, which is why it's very difficult to work the lower body when you're on a rollabout. And, you know, he's getting very close, and he was out there yesterday, and he's going to be clear. He's certainly going to be cleared by the start of training camp. I don't know if they're going to push it and try to get him on the field for mini camp, but we'll see. He seems very, very close. And, you know, he'll have an opportunity. I think, though, when you see Devin White, you see how enamored Vic Fangio may be with Zach Bond. He's going to need to get out on the field and prove himself, though, maybe more than we thought. Because I think most people, me included, assumed, you know, once N'Kobe is back and once N'Kobe is healthy, he's going to be the middle linebacker. And I still think that's odds on favorite to be the case, but I do think he's going to have to prove himself a little bit when he gets back.
Yeah, good point here from Regal. Just about, he's an undersized linebacker. His footwork is so important. It's a big concern, right? I mean, he's got back-to-back foot injuries. You know, we need his feet to be good because he's got to have good instinct, and they're his primary health concern. I think that's a bit of a problem, but you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Hopefully, it plays out for
well. Them. And I understand when you do have foot problems. We, you know, from an NBA perspective, we were dealing with that for a long time with Joel Embiid earlier in his career. Yeah. You worry about foot injuries. Actually, the bigger the person is, you know, then you know,
that's a good point. Yeah.
At 23, if everything is cleared up and the surgery was a success, and you know, hopefully N'Kobe puts it behind him and we're never talking about it again. But yeah, I get why people are concerned. But for those people saying, oh, he's injured again, he's not injured again. He's coming back from the same injury. He's just on the last stretches of his rehab from that particular Lisfranc injury, which is a very serious injury, but you know, people have come back from it before and been fine.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think he's itching to get back. I know he's injured, so we can't rush it, but we're just about at the put up or shut up time for N'Kobe Dean. If he doesn't contribute that to the team this year, I don't know how much longer they're going to keep him. They might move on from him after the year if he's not a contributor. So,
well, yeah, I mean, he's only played.
This is year three now, right? Coming into year three.
Yeah, he barely played as a rookie because TJ and Kaiser White were.
Which I'm fine with. But, you know, last year was his first opportunity. Obviously didn't go well from an injury standpoint. You know, now it's time, I would say. And he's only 23. That's surprising. Third year in the league, and he's only 23. And he won't be 24 until December. So he is relatively young.
Yeah, still plenty of time. But, yeah, it is. He's going to want to perform this year because you're talking about as a third round pick, you know, his rookie deal is 4 years. So typically when the Eagles see a foundational player, they want to extend him after that third year. So that's what this year means to N'Kobe Dean.
Not a contract year, but in a way, it's a contract year for N'Kobe Dean if he wants to get that extension. We'll take a commercial break. Johnny Mac and I will come back. I want to talk to John now about the press conferences. There was some good stuff said from Darius Slay. We talked a little bit about what Tyler Steen said. I thought that was good stuff. Jalen Carter backing up, giving some love to Vic Fangio, which I love to see after, you know, all that slight from the Miami Dolphins guys. Cilio ripped the Dolphins players yesterday for that, and I kind of loved it, to be honest, crying about it. You know, come on, man. He's your coach. He's going to force you to try and be better, and I thought they were crying a little too much, calling him not a good person. It's one thing to say you didn't get along with somebody, but not a good person. I think.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't like the not a good person thing. I'm like, you know.
It's a low blow. I mean, I think it is. I mean, but.
No, I agree with that. It's one, you know, it's understandable. I always say with Jalen Ramsey, particularly, you know, Hall of Fame player, he wants to play press. They all do.
Well, that I understand. You know, that I understand. That doesn't, okay, that's fine. You have a difference in philosophical, you know, defensive opinions. Yeah. That's fine.
I don't even take that seriously because I know those guys and I know they all want to play press. And
yeah, Kevin Savard says it perfectly. Yeah. Kids bitching about dad. Yep, exactly. Kevin Savard. That's what it sounded like to me too. from the Dolphins perspective. We'll take a break and we'll talk about the press conferences and what the Eagles players who spoke to the media yesterday had to say. That's all next on Birds 365. Make sure you guys like the show if you're in the chat, as it's the best thing you can do to help us grow here on YouTube. So we appreciate that. Stay tuned. We'll come back, talk press conferences, and wrap up this Thursday edition of Birds 365. Welcome back in, everybody, to Thursday's edition of Birds 365 following the OTA. Johnny Mack, I'll get it right to you here. We only have about 15 minutes left. Anything stand out to you at the press conferences yesterday?
Oh, press conferences. I got to run down. Well, first of all, I hope, you know, I talk about all the time about guys like Slay and A.J. Brown. You know, OTA work gives it an example, too. These guys don't need to be out there, but they're out there.
Yeah, they're out there. They're talking. I mean, that I love to see that. I really do. I know it's voluntary, but I just think that's a good thing. I mean, when you have guys that are – A.J. Brown just got paid $30 million plus a year, and he's showing up for voluntary work in May when he could be anywhere. You know, I like that. I'm a fan of that.
And the when Slay talks about – helping younger guys, that's not normal in the NFL. And there's this weird disconnect with Slay because of his personality, very big personality. And sometimes that comes across poorly to some people, which, you know, I don't have a problem with his personality. He's a very entertaining guy, but he's just, you know, and it comes and he talks about it all the time. When he was a young player in Detroit, he had a bunch of veterans that took him under his wing, and he just learned that way. And he thinks it's his job to make sure the next generation is ready. And that's in an industry where they draft players to take your job.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, that most times that's not the way veteran guys handle things. And
also a credit to the Eagles culture too. I mean, remember Jason Kelce was like jumping with joy when they drafted his replacement, you know, like, it's
Kelce's a little bit different.
He knew he was going to have the deference to leave when he wanted, but still, I do think it's a cool thing to see. And you do see a lot of it with these Eagles older guys. Brandon Graham, even Fletcher Cox kind of embraced it. Now Slay is the next one to embrace it. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, well, he's always embraced, and that's one of those things. I don't know. Again, I think it's because of the personality, but he's always been this way. I talked about it since he's gotten here. You know, he was the one when they signed Devin Allen, and Devin was still doing track, and he was the guy who organized the and he didn't even know him. He just got here and he was running at the Penn relays, and he got a bunch of teammates to go down to support Devin Allen. He's a leader. He's a team captain. And, you know, we talked a lot about helping the younger guys yesterday because they have Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and that they are very lucky to come into a situation where they have a veteran cornerback who's played like Darius Slay has played, 6-time Pro Bowler at his height, was one of the best cover corners in the NFL. It's one of the best off-ball cover corners now. Very savvy. I see it at practice. I've talked about that. He will bait quarterbacks to throw the football. You saw Quinyon Mitchell do a little bit of that already on day one. Yeah, so that to me, Slay was the biggest one for me, but I kind of already knew that stuff. And I'm with you with Jalen Carter. I like that he defended Vic Fangio because obviously he's a very young player.
Yeah.
And the assumption is that all young players don't want to work hard. All young players are entitled, especially ones that are as talented as he is.
Right. And who sometimes they might feel like their shit doesn't stink.
Exactly. And he mentioned it goes back to his high school, which is Opopka High School in Florida. And obviously they're very successful. And I apologize for butchering the people for the name for the Florida people, but kind of famous high school, and they are kind of old school. And I remember him talking about it before, and the fact that they basically teach you that, you know, they make sure you that losing feels worse than winning feels good, essentially. And, you know, running stadiums, he mentioned the old school stuff like that. So not everybody is going to balk at the way Vic does things. And to have a guy who's your best defensive player, and that's what he is already, and I've talked about it, you have to build the foundation of this defense on Jalen Carter. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yeah, I loved what he said. I really did. I know it's not, it's a press conference. It doesn't mean that much, but you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you have a guy that's very young. He's been the best player, been the best football player, probably at every stop he's ever had before the NFL. And now he's already proving in the NFL he might be the best on his team in the NFL too. And he just says, I love Vic, man. He's old school. I thought that was good, especially coming off the Dolphins comments. It shows he wants to work. It shows that he's not going to have problems if his coach is pushing him to be better. Or that's kind of my one knock on a little bit. One of my knocks on Nick Sirianni. Like I think he like wants to be friends with the players almost too much, where it's like, hey, you are their head coach. You know, you got to establish that hierarchy where like, if I'm telling you to do something, you got to do it, instead of like, hey, I'm your friend. Yeah, I know. You can come and talk to me about your relationship problems. Like, I don't care about that. I want you to coach
I don't know if I agree with that. Nick curses a lot behind the scenes.
Well, good. Nick, I like to hear that then. Good.
Nick can peel some paint off the walls when need be. But, you know, his whole thing is connection. That doesn't mean, yeah, you know, best friends. That means, you know, try to relate to somebody, because everybody in an NFL locker room has a different background. They might be from a different area. You know, Jason Kelce talked about it in his retirement speech of, you know, whether it's, he mentioned connecting with Fletcher Cox from Yazoo City, Mississippi, and all these different backgrounds coming together in one locker room. So that's what Nick's connection is more about. He's not adverse to yelling at people when they need yelling. And he'll even do that when the cameras are there. If he, you know, at one point last season, we asked him straight out, you know, are you performing for the cameras? Cause he got really fired up during the ball security drill when he didn't like the way it was going after a turnover game. He said, no, it's just in the moment. I don't necessarily believe him, but yeah, he's willing to yell at people.
Yeah. Well, good. I like to hear that. I want these coaches to coach these guys hard, because I mean, you look across this roster, there's a lot of talent here. So how best to get the talent out of these players, that's for the coaches to decide. But I have an opinion on how I would do it. And you know, it would be to coach them hard and push them to be the best version of themselves, to push them to, you know, try and continue to get better, even if they might not want to hear it sometimes. And I think that's a good thing. Anything else, Johnny Mac, from the pressers that stuck out to you? I don't know who else spoke. I wasn't able to catch them all. I was producing.
It was Jalen. It was Saquon. It was.
Saquon had that one comment about the offensive huddle, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what everybody says. That's why there's so much excitement about the Eagles offense, and the fact that you roll out there with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and Saquon Barkley. That's pretty good. You talked about the talent perspective. Now, I'm not as enamored, to be honest, with the depth of this team, and I've focused in on that, I think, more over the past week, because in OTAs a lot of guys aren't there, and you see the world if they're not there, what it could be. And it comes in. Now, you can't legislate injuries. I say that all the time. I'm not going back on that. There's nothing you can do if adversity hits and certain players are injured. You're not going to be
Doug Peterson.
but you certainly don't want
You're right, though. Yeah.
And there's some, you know, like Mekhi Becton I talked about. I think that's tremendous depth at swing tackle, a tremendous depth to get a player like that with that kind of potential. But there's other positions that we talked about, most notably wide receiver and linebacker, that don't look great right now. And even running back, I don't think, you know, after Saquon and Kenny Gainwell, it's very thin at running back, offensive line, interior. It's probably not the deepest thing. You're crossing your fingers that essentially this year's Justin Evans, Matt Hennessy will stay healthy, and that might be a pipe dream. Defensive front isn't as deep as it typically is for the Philadelphia Eagles. Safety.
Yeah, I would like to get Calais Campbell. I think he would be a good fit on that line to bolster some depth and give some veteran presence. I don't think they're done adding. I think they will. I don't think Howie will go into the season with.
Well, that's what happens. It happens all over the NFL when you start to get a real close look at the younger players and you say to yourself, yeah. Oh, this guy
kind of becomes more evident where you need to add versus just looking at it on a sheet of paper. Right.
Yeah. And that will happen not just in Philadelphia, but in many other cities. Well, they'll probably go one, or maybe it's a draft pick, or maybe it's somebody and they say, it's not going to be ready. We better bring in, you know, some of these guys. I've mentioned Corey Davis. That's an interesting name to me. But there's a bunch of those guys, and we see it every year.
Yeah, I will say we're at the end of the show here. Got 3 minutes left to play on Birds 365. My biggest takeaway from what I heard from you today is Devin White. I'm excited. I know it's just pads or it's just shorts, and it's not that big of a deal. But no, I'm serious. I am happy to hear that he looks like he still has some of that athleticism, like he ran with Saquon Barkley. Like I said, I'm not putting that much stock into it, but I've been pretty low on Devin White in your camp. If he can somehow find it and return to, I'm not going to say return to his best form, but return to some version of a competent NFL linebacker, that could be a big win for this team. I mean, we talk about how low they are at linebacker. That would be a big win for this team if Devin White can step up.
Yeah. I mean, if he can turn into what he was expected to be, that's
maybe not even that though. I mean, I just need you to be a competent version, better than you were in Tampa Bay, what got you benched, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he doesn't, they're in deep, you know what? I mean, unless you think they're Zach Vaughn, N'Kobe Dean, or Jeremiah Trotter can get up to speed, very quickly. And even, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, as I said, he was essentially the green dot. There's no real green dot because you're not communicating, but he was the leader of the defense. He was calling the huddle, as the middle linebacker, for the entire practice as the first team, you know, with the first team defense. Does N'Kobe Dean move to the weak side? You know, does Zach Bond win that job? But if Devin White can prove to be a legitimate NFL starter again, yeah, that would be very helpful for the Eagles defense.
Yeah, best case scenario. And the other good takeaway I had was that we don't know yet if they can play in an NFL game, but it seems that Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, the Eagles' top two picks in this year's draft, at least passed the eye test from an athletic standpoint and an ability to play the game at a high level, you know, when you're out on the field with NFL guys. I think that's a win as well. Obviously, we'll see how they play in game and in season, but I think that's a win as well from the OTA.
Yeah, there's going to be hiccups, but as long as you're willing to get through the growing pains, I think those guys are going to be on the field early for the Eagles defense. And, you know, I don't think James Bradbury is going to be here, unfortunately, from my standpoint, because I'm a big James Bradbury fan. But I think the writing is on the wall. I think the goal is to get Quinyon ready to be a starter week one. and Cooper's going to be involved in some way. So it's important for those players to be able to contribute early in the season.
Yeah, and it'll help their development too. And I agree with Mike Fitter here. Seems like they are students. I would agree. Seems like they're students of the game. Seems like they want to improve. They want to learn from the people who are better than them and above them, which I love. So that's a good thing. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. That's going to do it for Thursday's edition. A really good deep dive into OTAs. I don't know if you're going to find anywhere else in the Eagleverse a breakdown and a look at every player and everything that happened yesterday as you are on here on Birds 365. Johnny Mack was in the building. He was at NovaCare. He watched it for the full hour, and he gave us what he saw.
Hour and 10 minutes, man. By the way, Martin Frank is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, Martin put up some really good stuff.
Paul Domowich at 9:20. Both Martin and I projected the practice would go 70 minutes, and it went 70 minutes. And Martin can confirm this. So,
there you go. A little hat tip from Johnny Mack. A little credit for Johnny Mack and Martin Frank for calling out how long the practice would be. So I want to thank everybody for joining in today. Mike, James, Slagger, Joe, Paul Mancini. We do appreciate all you guys. Dolahan Monster, Brandon the Great. Anybody I missed in the chat, Regal Legal, who's always here every day. So we appreciate all of you guys. Make sure you hit the like button on your way out. And we'll be back for Friday's edition of Birds 365 tomorrow. Catch you guys on the flip. Johnny Mack, thanks, man, for a good show and a good breakdown of the OTAs. The fans are loving it. We appreciate you, and we'll catch you tomorrow. All right, man?
Yep. On-field action. Doesn't get better than that.
Yep, much better than nothing else to talk about. So we love a little bit of on-field action in May. We love it. We'll catch you guys tomorrow on Friday's edition of Birds 365.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.